Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio with Lisa Murphy. How you
Hello.
Doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am good. How are you, Jeff?
I'm groovy. It's as we're recording this, it's National Dog Day. The pups are right around the corner here wrestling. I don't know if you can. There's some tussling going on. Instead of our regular walk this morning, we went to the dog park before I knew it was National Dog Day. I told them we had some festivities planned. The truth is we're going to do the same stuff we do on a normal day. I'm just going to use a more excited voice and then their ears are going to perk up and they're going to get excited because they're just dumb dogs. It's going
to
be
Kane's birthday was a couple weeks ago and I went to the store. Did I tell you this story?
I probably heard the story. I don't know if the story made it out of the podcast though.
So I go to the bakery in celebration, the Fufu Dog Bakery, ready to just go buy some kind of cake mix, right, to make the dog a cake, and it got upsold. So instead of the $4.99 box of cake to make my own self, I bought the pre-made cake and didn't look to see how much it was. And then I'm going to pay, and it was, you know, how come my bill is $65? Because the stupid pre-made cake was $29.95. It was crazy. What's my point is that we had to break it up because the thing was massive and dense. And so now if you just walk around the house and say, do you want a piece of birthday cake? Then I bet Kane will come running down the stairs right this minute, right now, because he started associating birthday cake. You want some birthday cake?
The day I bake my dogs a cake is the day they need to take me to, they need to send me to the farm.
Hey, it made me think of Otis, right? When Otis's birthday, my old dog Otis, and on his birthday.
Better make clear that Otis was a dog.
Right? And not, Otis, we called him Otis B. And he, every year on his birthday, which was in September, he would get a cupcake. I just made regular cupcakes. I didn't know that, you know, there was stuff you should be worried about. And a Heineken, which I still to this day think that's hilarious. We would pour out other kinds of beers and he would only drink the Heineken beer. And so on his birthday, he got a cupcake and a Heineken.
Would you guys just settle down? What a podcast this is going to be. They're just all laying there quietly before. But of course, it is National Dog Day. So, they've got something
like
to be excited
knew.
About.
You put that lilt in your voice and they're thinking something exciting's happening. It's like circle time. You just sound a little excited.
Yeah. And everybody gets all into it. Hey, speaking of a little excited, I want to raise a glass. This is the Child Care Bar and Grill, by the way. And the glass is full of tea, by the way. It's not a glass, it's a mug. But to all those early learning people out there doing the hard work of early learning, any parents that are listening, dealing with children is hard. So cheers to you.
Cheers.
We got this show that's named after a bar and grill, and we don't do that often enough. We need to raise a glass a little bit more often to our listeners.
Cheers.
What are you drinking?
Oh, it's just cranberry juice.
Just cranberry juice and vodka. Yeah. I mean, it is after 8 in the morning. Guys, settle down. So we got to get into a topic. This has been a couple minutes of I don't know what this has been. But so at least I want to talk about classroom learning centers.
Okay.
You know, you got your block area, you got your literacy area, you got your quiet area, you got your dramatic play center, you got your art area, maybe you popped in a STEM area, and you got all these areas. And
why?
I'll tell you why. Why is because in a lot of places it is required by fill in the blank. What I heard most recently was Deckers. Required by the quality rating system in the state.
You have to have 5 identifiable learning centers.
Yeah.
Oh, I can riff. Well, you go on. Tell me where you're going with this.
Well, I mean, my thing is over, you know, my direct care time, and that's, I mean, 2.5 decades plus, I mean, we did the learning center stuff, but what we found as the practice evolved was that that's nice and it's cute and it allows some organization for the adults, but the kids really don't tend to need that. And so I do my whole preachy thing about play and stuff during presentations. And then I hear, yeah, but we have to have this, because the environment I opt for is a decent space with lots of wide open floor space and lots of the stuff, so the kids can create the centers or the learning experiences that they want and need. Because for me, that kind of flows from the whole idea that the activities going on in an early learning setting should be child induced and child led. So where are we? And I guess maybe we talk about this for a little bit, and we talk about ways you can fake it to make it look like you've got the learning centers, but you can really do the thing we're talking about. I don't know. Where you want to go?
Well, a couple places. First of all, choosing to be aligned with a rating scale is just that. It's a choice to be aligned with a rating scale. So nobody's making you have to have 5 identifiable learning centers. You're choosing to be aligned with a program, whether it's a rating scale or whatever. Also, to our longtime listeners, they're going to know what I'm going to say next, is that choosing to get a 2 on said rating scale is very different than being given a 2, right? If I'm intentional in the sense that, hey, I realize that, like Jeff just said, I am a proponent and an advocate of open spaces, letting children use the materials that are being made available to create their own quote unquote learning centers. Then that means when that lady with the clipboard walks in that she's not going to see 5 labeled learning centers. However, to that, and this is the piece that I think is very important, I would much rather spend training time on having staff be able to articulate the learning centers that are there that might not be labeled with some kind of sign you could buy from a catalog. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah.
Right? Like that's where I would rather put my training effort and energy. You're right. There are not 5 separate pod areas set up here. However, I am able to show you how that is language and literacy, and that is blocks, and this is cognitive, and that's spatial awareness, and this is language. Like that to me is so much more important, because you could have somebody not that articulate in a room that had 7 identifiable learning interest areas, but really doesn't understand anything that's going on in the classroom. And, you know, although the latter might get the higher score with somebody walking in with the clipboard, to me, it is actually a lesser quote unquote program.
Yeah. Having walking into a classroom with that clipboard and having the person in that classroom able to talk to you for 15 minutes about how the block play area is all of those things, all yes. learning centers in one, because there's so much language going on and because there's the creativity and the artisticness and blah, 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 blah,
my heart is palpitating. I mean, I get all excited. Like I get all at the thought of people working with children who have that ability.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that's absolutely what we need to push for. So I guess for me, maybe what I need to start talking about in presentations is here's the way you should do it. And to keep the people with the clipboard happy, you need to put up a couple signs based on how you store things. Is this how you do it? I mean, here's the block area, because this is where we store the blocks. And here's
I'm interrupting you because I want to say this while it's fresh in my head. The other thing that concerns me about those, you know, 5 identifiable learning centers is that I think it sends a message that I don't agree with, which is that that stuff then has to stay in that prescribed labeled area. To your comment of, hey, this is where we store this stuff, but where the kids need to use it, that's on them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that has to, and I mean, we totally get into that in sessions. And so I guess that's the way you, if you, if you have to hack the system to do real play and make it look like you've got those learning settings, I guess the storage-based arrangement is probably the best way to go, huh?
Well, I think so too. And I'm thinking of the program that I worked at 1,000 years ago, it feels like now, when I was doing that 3-year grant project out in Tucson. And, you know, I say this with nothing but love in my heart, a couple of those programs, they didn't have anything. I mean, nothing. And not like the way some of us say, oh, I don't have anything. Like that was an empty room, you know, and this is where the kids all came. And they were small, and a lot of them were old houses, converted houses into now licensed childcare centers. Fine, that's neither here nor there. But my point was, is that one of their goals was to get higher scores on Eckers. And you're looking at, you know, all of these children and maybe a 200 square foot space, you know, that's, and now you have to put 5 centers in that. There's no room, right? And even though the funds came to get all of that stuff, I was like, you know, this still isn't best practice. So maybe the staff just needs to know that on this one shelf, kind of like what you were saying, there are centers. There's maybe 2 of them on this one shelf, because look at the space in the room. There just literally isn't enough space to have 12 2-year-olds in this room and all of this freaking furniture.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's another drawback to the whole learning center thing for me is the amount of real estate it takes up.
Yes.
Because you feel like so many of those centers, you have to have the shelving for the center stuff, and you got to have a table there because all the kids need to do stuff at tables, and you have to have enough chairs because all kids love chairs. And so you end up with a lot of space taking up by a lot of tables and a lot of chairs. And that is space that could be used for, I don't know, Ninja Turtle play,
or any kind of loose part
yeah.
play, right? Any
kind yeah.
of, you know, kids only sit down because adults tell them to sit down, right? You know, and kids will go choose a manipulative kind of activity from a shelf and sit on the floor. I mean, they'll come to the table because typically there's one there, but I mean, you walk into some programs and there's like 3, 4, 5 tables. Like, wow, you know, I get it, a chair for every kid. I get that. Because a lot of times that's actually a licensing rule depending on the state you're in. But that's, you measure the square foot underneath a table that nobody is sitting at. And the other thing I want to say this while I'm thinking about it too, because you said the shelving units, and I talk about this in my sessions too, especially with a toddler room. So you imagine in your head, especially listeners right now, you imagine in your head that it's like a cubby shelf, but it's not the cubby. It's like usually it's at the block area, and there's 15 holes where it's implying that now you need 15 baskets of 15 boxes of shit to put on all these shelves. And then they're like, oh my God, they just dump everything out. Well, they dump everything out because you've got 15 boxes of Duplos, of Legos, of people, of animals, of cars, blah, 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 blah. So you don't need, and that's where we drink the Kool-Aid. And we've talked about this before too, when we talk about the catalogs and thinking that you need to have all of this stuff. Just because there's 15 holes doesn't mean you need to have 15 cubbies full of shit. Because toddlers will spend, and people don't believe this until they actually go, oh, wow, I saw it happen. The kids will stand there and just pull the cubby out and put it in another hole. And then they'll pull it out and they'll put it in another hole. And that's what they do because they're toddlers and they dump.
Well,
and they
I think we got to also remember the dumping out.
That's why, dump, fill.
Is it totally a thing that they do as well? And so there's got to be stuff to dump out, but you can kind of control that a little bit. You don't have to. You can make your life a little bit easier because they're fine dumping the same thing out over and over again. It doesn't have to be. And really don't fill those 15 cubbies with shit.
Oh my god,
that would
be
that would be a huge mess. It would smell just, I mean, it would be a sensory experience. But
Jeff's being literal. Listeners.
Don't please do that. Well, yeah, I'm still literal. What are you going to do?
Like it reminds me of when the first time I sent a book out for edit, for review, one of my very first books. And I was not familiar with the idea of, they call it white space on a piece of paper, like the margins. Like your eye needs a place to land where there's no stimulus coming in. And I took that feedback, not only for the book, but I was able to transfer that also into the classroom. I was still in the classroom at the time. And I was like, oh, huh. You know, there's not that space where there's Not that there's nothing, but it's like a place for the body to take a break or for their eyes to take a break and get like a little reboot. I don't know why I'm really locked and loaded thinking of a toddler room when it comes to space. Olders, I think it's a little different, but I guarantee the toddler rooms have too much stuff. And then they can't move their body.
Stimulation.
Yeah, but they actually the stimulation they need comes from not having all of that stuff. They need to be spinning and rolling and jumping and, you know, all of the big verbs that we like so much.
Absolutely. And so I totally agree. The learning center thing also, I think another drawback is that I haven't read anything, and I do a little bit of reading on this topic of early learning. I haven't read anything that leads me to believe this is developmentally the best choice for children. So it kind of stuns me that this kind of setup is what we have. Now, I'm guessing it's a push down from the modular school system we have that, you know, first grade got pushed down into a kindergarten. We made some adjustments. And so kindergarten became preschool. And so I think that's where the setup grows.
I don't know. I might disagree with that.
Well, go ahead,
not then. Disagree for any reason other than I almost see it as a bottom up when you start thinking about when programs first started getting licensed, right? So why, let's go back. So like Mary's Nursery School, where I went to my nursery school experience, which most of the listeners have heard that story. She opened it in 1952. And everything was a room, block room, Play-Doh room. There were easels, right? It was just, the stuff was there. There weren't centers. There was rooms, right? However, as programs became more full day programs, they became licensed programs. I would almost venture to guess, and I don't know, I'm totally thinking out loud.
That's all we do on the show anyway.
That's all we do on the show. Let me check my notes. Yeah, right? Yeah, whatever. I almost wonder if it came about of making sure that there was stuff in the space for kids to be kept engaged. You know, like if these people are going to start opening centers, they're going to be licensed. We have to have some stuff for them. And so they aren't empty rooms.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody said, okay, well, there should be these kinds of things, but maybe they've become more rigidly enforced.
Yeah.
Maybe before it used to be like a suggestion, like here's some stuff you should have if you're going to have, you know, 45 kids in a space.
And did that happen because they thought, oh, well, what do parents want to see when they walk into the space for their children?
They might.
Or what do kids need? Because I really think the setup that we're so drawn to is there because it's what we think parents think early learning should look like.
In more modern lens, I would agree with that. But
it's the whole make it look like the catalog thing.
Make it look like the catalog. I'm giving you this money, so it should look like I'm getting, it's a return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, and I'm old now too, but I know when I see pictures of, and this is a whole sidebar, but when I say the phrase nursery school, I am referring to like the things from the 50s, 60s, 70s, where they were three-hour programs. I get that. Sidebar to that is that I do believe you can have that mindset in a full day program, but that's a whole other thing. I'm not implying that what I'm saying only happens in a nursery school. My point is that when I look at pictures, photographs from that time frame, half day, full day, it doesn't matter. It was so much more child-centered, child-directed, loose parts. They were doing loose parts before we had that even phrase, right? And I just think somewhere in the transition, maybe from a nursery school mindset to a full day mindset, I think that's where we started to lose touch with making sure the kids have what kids need. Because I don't know, maybe there was somehow socially more of an acceptance for it to look like what kids need because it was a 2 to 3 hour program. And then when it turned into a full day program and people were paying more money, somehow the ROI factor got leveraged in there. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That would actually be a good dissertation. If anybody is listening and needs a capstone thesis project, when did we start, like furniture wise? Like I know when we started more of that push down academic, you know, like you were talking about first into kinder and kinder into pre, but the actual physical layout, that would be an interesting investigation.
Yeah. I mean, we went from children being cared for in the natural human environment. And I mean, this goes back to our 10,000-year-old hunter-gatherer selves. Kids hung out in adult spaces, and they played with cast-off adult stuff or replicas of the tools, the child-sized replicas of the tools their adults used. And they were just, I mean, all their learning took place in the pretty much adult environment. And then we, at some point, started creating these special hallowed places for children, and it's not too long ago that we did this, that sets them off and disconnects them so much from the realities of the real world, and that disconnect just seems to bother me, especially when I hear from family child care providers who feel that they need to try to recreate a center looking learning center set up in their family childcare spaces, when that pretty natural, pretty just this is a house setup was good enough for human children for the vast majority of human history.
Well, and to that, even just the language piece, if you're going to operate a family childcare home, I mean, let's not forget the first and the fourth word, right? Family and home. If you wanted to run a center, then it should be out of your home if you wanted to somehow not have that homey feeling. But then at the same time, I'll pat myself on the back that, I mean, that was one of the things we tried to really, really focus on when I did open the center, was that it had like the best of both worlds, that we had a living room when you right walked in, and we had it be cozy. And yeah, we had separate classrooms, but at the same time, I wanted to capture as much as possible the family homey coziness from my time doing family childcare.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were talking about toddlers a little bit ago. So for me, if I was doing it over again, the primary planned learning center in a toddler room would be a very comfortable, very large, probably very easy to clean couch. I mean, I think I'd probably go, you'd probably have to go leather. Two, I mean, really easy maybe to wipe down and, because I mean, at that age, it's all about the physical contact and the snuggling and
climbing,
the climbing and everything. I mean, there's probably not a more useful, and I'm probably exaggerating, probably not a more useful piece of equipment you could put in toddler rooms, but how many?
Oh, I will add this, and it is a thing. Is the triangle, the Pickler triangle.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Sure.
If you had couches and Pickler triangles and like big beach balls and rolls of masking tape, like there you go. There's our toddler room.
Yeah. Next. Absolutely. So that would be my toddler learning center.
And let's go back to how we started and not sound so snarky, because let's link that back. Now in that, right, I don't know what we're playing, but on a couch with the Pickler triangles, with beach balls, with tape. Could you link that? Of course we could. Back to cognitive develop, like all the either, what am I thinking? Like if you had scripted learning guidelines or standards or expectations, you could link it back to all of it, to the four domains of developmentally appropriate practice: cognitive, language, literacy, physical, social, emotional. It's all right there, right? Yeah. We don't need furniture like stations with some weird sign hanging over it. I mean, I'm not poo-pooing it if you do, yeah, but you don't need it.
Yeah. I think so much of that stuff is just it's a place for the adult's mind to anchor and say, oh, this thing must be happening here. I think, oh, block play must be happening here because that sign says this is the block area.
Right.
Literacy.
Look
must
at
be
how
happening.
I'm teaching.
Yeah.
Look,
there's a these kids must be learning to be literate because that sign says so. And I mean, I guess snark is kind of our brand.
Meanwhile, the teacher in the room might or might not actually even be able to link the stuff that's labeled. Like they might not be able to articulate how it's actually connecting to the sign that's hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, all that signage that we add to these things that are often required for the rating systems and stuff, all of that is for the adults. It's not for the kids. The kids,
yeah, nobody can read it.
The kids know that's a chair. You don't have to put the label on it.
Now, oh, I hate that.
Have I labeled chairs before in my life? Oh. Yeah, Yeah, not something I'm proud of, but that's what I was taught to do. And right. It's so unnecessary for the little humans living in the space. One other thing I wanted to throw out on this one before we wrap it up is how many learning centers seem to be absent in these spaces that I would, I mean, I would have a, so many settings talk up, oh, there's the quiet space and there's some cuddly cushions over there and everything. Where's the fucking loud space?
Oh yeah. I see where you're going. Yeah.
And then the big body, the rough and tumble space.
Right. I was just going to say, I've seen those, like the peace corner, like where's the, I'm really fucking pissed off corner, yeah. You know, like where's the place for that?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think another misstep relying so heavily on those learning centers takes is the fact that it doesn't encompass the broadness of child activity and the things children are choosing to engage in.
And I've said this before, and I don't have anything other than just the "wah," so forgive me. I think the classrooms have become overly feminized.
Not enough denim and camouflage.
No. I they're pretty. We've talked about this. I think they're too pretty. I think they're too. And this is maybe I have a gender bias here. I feel like most early childhood settings are more conducive stereotypically, generally to girls. And I got no data. It's just a gut. When I walk in, I feel like they are just inherently more conducive and more accepting to what little girls need and their female teachers need, and not necessarily making room for the more rough, tumble, raw. And I realize to listeners, you got to know this. I realize that I'm sounding very gender stereotypical. And please don't take it out of context, because I realize that it goes both ways. And I'm a firm believer in that. And, you know, where is the loud place? Where are the big blocks? Where are the big loose parts? That raw underbelly, I like to say, of play. That's not so pretty and neat and shiny and sparkly and packaged.
There does tend to be an aesthetic that shies away from those things. And of course I can't say it, cause I'm a dude. So I just let people like you and Heather Shoemaker and that early childhood nerd say those things. And then I say, guess what she said? And then I'm not the dude saying that thing.
Yeah, but I'm the girl saying it.
That's why I can point to you guys because it's, and agree with it. It just makes it a little bit easier. I totally say it. And then I use you guys to back me up in case anybody wants to yell at me.
Doesn't want to yell at you, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be, again, part of the brand. Any more on this one before we wrap her up?
No, I thank you.
I mean, people, if you're doing the learning centers, if you feel you have to be able to identify to adults that you have learning centers, use the storage strategy. Hang the sign over the block area storage that this is the block area, and then let the stuff go where it may. Try to create a space where children are free to move things about, and that there's space to move it about. And yes, Lisa Murphy?
I raised my hand because I wanted to also point out that if you're saying that these are five identifiable learning centers, it's kind of sending a verbal message that there isn't any learning happening unless you're in that center.
There's a good place to end, something to think about while you're waiting for the next episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill to come out. Hey, listeners, if you got thoughts on this, we'd love to hear them. And again, we're advocating for a place we came to after years of working in the field. So if you're not there yet, we totally get it. And not any shaming going on if you're still locked into your learning centers, but there are other ways, and probably more learning rich and child friendly ways if you want to consider them. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for tuning in. Happy belated National Dog Day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.